This is poetry from Studio 47. Welcome. Today's poet is Camille T. Dungy. Dungy was born in Denver, Colorado in 1972 and moved around the country during her childhood because her father taught at a number of medical schools. She attended Stanford University, where she received her BA, and then went on to get an MFA from the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. A prolific writer and poet, Dungy is also a renowned editor, best known for Black Nature, Four Centuries of African American Nature Poetry. This particular anthology arose from Dungy's observation that Black voices were excluded when it came to nature poetry. Before it was published, she noted, "I miss seeing writers of color in the conversation. Until we have greater variety in the conversation, it is not a conversation, it is a monologue." Her collections include What to Eat, What to Drink, What to Leave for Poison, Suck on the Marrow, Smith Blue, Trophic Cascade, and Guidebook to Relative Strangers, Journeys in Race, Motherhood, and History. She has won a Guggenheim, a Sustainable Arts Foundation Award. She has won the American Book Award, the Dana Award in Poetry, a fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts, and she has been nominated for the NAACP Image Award twice. She lives in Fort Collins, Colorado, where she teaches English at Colorado State University. Today's poem is This'll Hurt Me More. There are many things I appreciate and admire about this poem. Dungy directly addresses America here, and she weaves racial injustice and memory and nature together seamlessly. The first time I read this poem, it made me want to read it again and again. That's what good art can do. It draws us back, and it asks hard questions. This is This'll Hurt Me More by Camille T. Dungy. "Don't make me send you outside to find a switch," my grandmother used to say. It was years before I had the nerve to ask her why switch was the word her anger reached for when she needed me to act a different way. Still, when I see some branches, wispy ones like willows, like lilacs, like the tan yellow forsythia before the brighter yellow buds, I think these would make perfect switches for a whipping. America, there is not a place I can wander inside you and not feel a little afraid. Did I ever tell you about that time I was 7, buckled into the back seat of the Volvo before buckles were a thing America required? My parents tried, despite everything, to keep us safe. I remember the brown hills sloping toward the valley, a soft brown welcome I looked for other places but found only there, and in my grandmother's skin. Yes, I have just compared my grandmother's body to my childhood's hills, America. I love them both, and they taught me, each, things I needed to learn. You have witnessed, America, how pleasant hillsides can quickly catch fire. My grandmother could be like that, but she protected me, too. There were strawberry fields, wind guarded in that valley, tarped against the cold. America, you are good at taking care of what you value. Those silver-gray tarps made the fields look like a pond I could skate on. As the policeman questioned my dad, I concentrated on the view outside the back window. America, have you ever noticed how well you stretch the imagination? This was Southern California. I'd lived there all my life and never seen a frozen pond, but there I was, in 70-degree weather, imagining my skates carving figure eights on a strawberry field. Of course, my father fit the description. The imagination can accommodate whoever might happen along. America, if you've seen a hillside quickly catch fire, you've also seen a river freeze over, the surface looking placid, though you know the water deep down, dark as my father, is pushing and pushing, still trying to get ahead. "We were driving home," my father said. "My wife and my daughters, we were just on our way home." I know you want to know what happened next, America. Did my dad make it safely home or not? Outside this window, lilac blooms show up like a rash decision the bush makes each spring. I haven't lived in Southern California for decades. A pond here killed a child we all knew. For years after that accident, as spring bloomed and ice thinned, my daughter remembered the child from her preschool. And now, it's not so much that she's forgotten, it's more that it seems she's never known that child as anything other than drowned. My grandmother didn't have an answer. A switch is what her mother called it, and her grandmother before her. She'd been gone from that part of America for over half a century, but still that southern soil sprang up along the contours of her tongue. America, I'll tell you this much. I cannot understand this mind, where it reaches. Even when she was threatening to beat me, I liked to imagine the swishing sound a branch would make as it whipped toward my body through the resisting air. She'd say, "This is hurting me more than it's hurting you." I didn't understand her then, but now I think I do. America, go find me a switch.
Poetry from Studio 47 is hosted and curated by Patrick Hicks. This episode was recorded at Augustana University and produced by Peter Folliard. Thank you for listening.